Acharya, the Buddha did say that there is nothing more variegated, rigid than the citta, did he? He said it. And that's because of accumulations.
How can that be because of accumulations?
It's so various. I mean, two people see the same thing but different reactions.
Only once in samsara arises and falls away, never to return.
Choosing clothes, hairstyle, it has to be like this. That's because of the citta. Different people, different. Combing hair this way or that way.
Even it's here and now, it's very difficult to understand the truth. As so not self.
So the variegated is not just, as I just pointed out to Paina, that it's after seeing things, people think differently. Even the seeing, in a way, because of accumulations, is not the same. Seeing itself is seeing, that of course, but the accumulations are passed on from citta to citta. So it's not the same in that sense.
With or without anusaya. And we can be just this person, only this life, no more.
Jisna Sundra, you brought up some sutta about King Pasenadi. He felt anxious or something and he went to the Buddha, and the Buddha didn't reprimand him for whatever he did. And I was thinking, there's really no point because everything is gone. The point is to understand now. So a wise person would always, you know, talk about what's now. What's gone is gone, the future hasn't come. That's the only thing that's useful for the other person.
No, I like the way you said that, Kunsukyan, because he referred to what was imminent to us all, death, that happens to us all, and that's what needs to be paid heed to. The death, as we probably will agree, of the present moment, but also, we were talking, Ajahn, just before you came, about there's a sutta called the Pabbatūpama Sutta, where the simile of the Upama of the mountain, Pabbata, where King Pasenadi came to see the Buddha. He was agitated, he was upset, apparently because there had been in the kingdom, somebody had tried to challenge him, and he executed a number of people apparently, and he was upset about that, and the Buddha would have known about that, but he didn't say anything to Pasenadi about that. He just reminded him of to follow the Dhamma as it is. Like, he just said to him, imagine, O king, if a mountain as high as the sky is coming from the north, and another mountain's coming from the west, and it's crushing everything in its path, just to be, what can you do? What can you do? Just walk, follow the good Dhamma. And so Kin has just pointed out then, he couldn't reprimand, but he was reminding him of what is important to do at any time. Yeah. There was another sutta recently that I was looking at, and remember that one about the Lichavi youths who came to see the Buddha, and they'd been hunting, and they were on their way hunting, you know, to kill, and they saw the Buddha in the forest sitting down underneath a tree, and they went up to the Buddha and paid respects to the Buddha. They put their dogs, they had dogs with them, they had their bows with them, and they paid respects to the Buddha. And somebody came along and said to them, oh, they are wonderful, they are paying respects to the Buddha. And the Buddha said to the fellow who said that, why do you say that? Why do you say that they are good, these people are good in what they do? So he was asking this fellow who said to the Buddha, why do you say that they're doing good things? And he very skillfully answered that question. He didn't agree with what that fellow said, but he also said, why do you say that? He was always encouraging people to think very carefully. I don't know if I've explained that very well, but...
I'm thinking that in any sutta any person coming to visit the Buddha, whether a disciple or from another sect, come with whatever intention, it's always expressed that they paid respect to the Buddha. Is that part, because he's the Buddha, that everyone who meets him pays respect to him?
Just like custom.
Just a custom? Because some came to fight and still they pay respect.
Okay, you can ask now.
Okay, thank you. Sawadika, Tukon. I have a question about heat, fire element. It's very, very hot here in Australia. I was walking and feeling so hot, and then I thought, but the heat element arises with the seven other rupas. So I was thinking, well, if this heat, where is the heart, the earth element when there's so much heat? Does that make sense?
Okay.
Ajahn didn't understand your question. Can you ask again, please?
Okay. When the fire element is there, you know, like there's four Mahabhuta rupas, fire, earth, water, air, and when you feel so much heat, so the other elements are there, but where?
Where it does not appear.
They don't appear,
yeah,
but they're there.
Yes.
Okay.
They rise and fall together with the heat.
Right. So,
we only experience one object at a time.
Yes. Hello, Pina. Nice to see you. they're experienced one at a time. That's what you're saying?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, that's what I figured. It was just that I was walking. It was so hot. And I thought, there's nothing but heat element. So it's experienced because of vipak. Is that correct? Citta arises, experiences an object. In that case, it was heat element, fire element. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's body consciousness. That's vipaka.
Yes. Okay. I guess I was looking for the earth element in that heat, but yes, I realize they arise and fall together, and it's only because of vipaka that you experience certain objects, or there is the experience of certain objects, right?
I mean, it depends on what's being, let's say you were touching hot glass.
Yes.
You won't know which moment is the hardness being experienced or the heat being experienced, but only one appears at a time, and each time when the earth element is being experienced, the heat element also rises and falls away together with the earth element, and when the heat is being experienced, the earth and the other six elements also rise and fall away with the heat.
Right. Okay. Well, it was temperature hot, like the air was really hot.
Mm. So you wouldn't have, it wouldn't likely have been the earth element.
It may be in between, there may have been the wind element or...
Yes.
But they arise together, so the earth element is there, but even in not the air, you just experience the heat.
Yeah, but...
Not the earth element. Not the earth element, no.
But it
that's
be
amazing.
But
it has to that's, be
there. It is there.
That's that beats science. And it's the same when you... when there's experience of visible object, all those other elements are there, but it's the visible object that is experienced.
Right.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Everything is gone.
Then it's really...
nothing.
It seems like it's there all the time, attachment.
Mm-hmm. Because of ignorance.
All the time. It's ready to come. It's there. It's not ready to come. It's before you
can... and only you know. Panya can see that.
Everything, Achan. Mm. It's everything looking for opportunity to be to arise.
Mm. All day, all night.
And you can see that why it takes so long. Because even now in this life when we've heard the Dhamma, it's still attachment who is the leader all the time. So when we don't hear, then it's just all the time.
Yeah, always someone dies and someone born and on, non-stop. Born to see, born to think, born to die.
Last time when Azita called, you asked, what are you attached to now? Now you were talking about attachment and you said, now what do you want? She said, to have more understanding. And there again, it's attachment. And we can see it's there. It's more than we know, we think. It's like we're underestimating attachment.
And the truth is just a moment of mental nama,
yes,
and rupa, that's all.
Even when we talk about how much attachment is there is, and then you say, but it's good to know attachment arises again. It's good to know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. It's just like the space between kalapas, asava. Three moments after seeing, hearing is there by conditions.
And we can see why the self trying to do something makes it worse. We have a problem with attachment and then we're trying to wait not to have attachment, it's worse.
This is chapter 2, the perfection of morality, sila. The commentary to the basket of conduct defines the perfections of morality as follows. Virtue, sila, has the characteristic of composing, silana, observing, coordinating, samadhana, and establishing, patidhana, and also mentioned as its characteristics, its function is to dispel...
Barani.
And Achan, we can see because the so hard for understanding to arise that all kinds of kusla must, it requires other kinds of kusla for support and long time. It's like rubbing a cloth against a mountain.
Otherwise it's time for akusala. Mm-hmm. If there's no kusala.
Akusala means punya.
Hmm? No, what I mean is that even kusla, which is without panya,
is not barami.
It's not barami, but it helps in that at that time, no moha and more other akusla being accumulated. So even those in that way, indirectly, is required because we're so weak, so weak.
There was a passage that I read from the variegated nature of citta from survey about akusala dhammas arise because of conditions, and when it has arisen, we should, instead of worry about it again and again, be aware of its characteristic, investigate it, and understand it as not self. This is the only way to have less akusala and to eventually eradicate it. And this passage stood out to me. Instead of worry, I could also paraphrase, instead of struggle with it, instead of blaming the self, because that's going the other direction, to be aware of its characteristic, investigate it, and understand it as not self. And that's the way to have less akusala and to eventually eradicate it, a way to freedom from its...
To understand that very moment.
Yeah.
Not just wanting to have kusala.
Yeah, yeah. Arises and passes away, never to return. The variegated nature.
No matter kusala or akusala. Because people think that they can understand kusala as yourself. But for akusala, it troubled them so much.
And it's the other, it's going in the opposite direction.
But there has to be as strong as to understand that moment, as even akusala is not self at all.
Such a beautiful passage brings tranquil.
It's been only 2,500 years, but the difference is so great between the people at that time and this time. It's too great. 2,500 is such a short time.
What about 1,000 years ahead?
Unimaginable. Not just a difference between those 1,000 years, but this side of the table and that side of the table. Right now, it can be different too.
Right, but difference is different. I'm talking about the accumulated punya. The people during the Buddha's time,
some people,
they became enlightened.
But not everybody.
Huh?
Some
many,
people, but not everybody.
Many became enlightened.
But I thought last week you said that's because of Maya Kusala.
What?
Yeah. When I was remarking about the state of things and how there seems to be not so much support.
No, I'm just saying
so
the difference 2,500 years is in the large scheme of things. 2,500 is a very short time. Yet 2,500 years ago there were people ready to become Aryans, many. And now it's like the only people interested in Dhamma are here and also nowhere near.
But the time before the Buddha, between the two Buddhas,
yeah.
That was a long, long time, more than 2,500 years.
Yeah. So there's going to be that long. So this 2,500 compared to that long, long time is very short.
What of the Buddha before the Buddha?
The previous Buddha, Panya, that you just referred to.
No, I don't remember the name, but Buddhas arise in the world very seldom.
Yes.
So in between two Buddhas, there's a long, long time. Not just 2,500 years, many, many more years.
Uncountable.
But
I agree with you, Sukanya, that it is an amazing thing in a way that only 2,500 years ago, which is relatively a short time, there was enlightened beings everywhere, well, many, many places in India at the time, and no doubt, obviously in Devaloka too, there were thousands. So that's an amazing thing, indeed. Okay, so I'll continue with this here. the transgression of morality sila, such as killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, is motivated by kusala, by attachment, aversion, dosa, and ignorance, moha. When someone commits evil deeds, he lacks metta, loving kindness, towards others. All akusala kammas are conditioned by clinging to visible object, sound, smell, flavor, tangible object, and the wrong view that there is self, being, or person. The stream winner, who has realized the Four Noble Truths and attained the first stage of enlightenment, has eradicated the defilements in accordance with that stage of enlightenment. He observes the five precepts perfectly. He cannot transgress them anymore. If one is not a stream winner, which precepts can one observe? Even before we are a stream winner, we should not transgress the precepts. The coarse defilements can be subdued and worn away until punya will be developed to the degree of a perfection and is able to realize the Four Noble Truths. The perfection of sila is an excellent quality, a supporting condition for reaching the further shore, namely the eradication of defilements. We read that about akitti sila in the commentary to the Basket of Conduct. When the Buddha was the ascetic akitti, he dwelt in a kara wood with strength and energy to fulfill the ascetic practices, tapa. That is the perfection of sila. Sila is indeed called asceticism because it burns the impurity of akusala. Even so, the perfection of renunciation and the perfection of energy are called asceticism, tapa, because they burn by their strength the impurity of clinging and laziness. Kumpaina, would you like to continue?
The 10 perfections are supporting conditions for each other. At the time the Buddha was the ascetic akitti, he accumulated the perfections of sila together with the other perfections, such as renunciation and energy. We read, at the time he was the ascetic akitti, he built a hermitage beside a great kara tree. When this tree gave fruit, he fed on them. And when there were no fruits, he fed on its leaves, sprinkled with water. Thus he had time and opportunity to apply himself to the attainment of jhana. The ascetic akitti searched for kara leaves that were sufficient for only one meal a day, because he found that searching for food for two meals would not lead to the eradication of defilements. This is the perfection of patience, because his life was not involved with the urge to eat.
I have a question.
What? So eating and the urge to eat is a hindrance?
No, that's not my question. The akitti, that's a bodhisattva. So he had the idea of eradicating defilements. So all bodhisattvas have that underlying understanding.
Just like we now.
But we only hear the Dhamma. After hearing the Dhamma, do we know the concept of eradicating defilements? Otherwise,
the Buddha to be also heard about teachings before.
Because we know that jhana only suppresses. So even Akiti was practicing jhana that was about suppression, not eradicating. But he had the idea of eradicating. Was that a misunderstanding or what?
No, because it's very difficult to attain that state. But what about no matter what kind of kusala, and jhana is also a kind of kusala.
And therefore?
Therefore, it can be developed.
It can be developed. Can it lead to eradication of defilements?
Not at all, but it's better to have it together later. Not just only become enlightened without jhana. Because you see that even the intention to have less attachment to the sensuous object. It's so very difficult. Mm. So anyone who had the accumulation to do that must have the idea of thinking about having less attachment to the sensuous object.
Mm-hmm. So just understanding that it leads to less,
mm-hmm.
but even though it's not the Eightfold Path, the idea of becoming less is based on the understanding of this is a problem and this mm-hmm. is what you should do.
Yeah, better than the kusla, kamavachara.
So these citta arise, these citta come, whereas a person not interested in Dhamma or anything of the sort, indulgent in sensuous pleasures, such citta do not come, or very rarely.
Because you see that who can think about having kusala moments as much as one can have conditions for it?
It just arises. Mm-hmm.
All by conditions. Even now, does anyone would like to have less attachment to sensuous object? So it's just great to have such, even thinking about having less.
But since the idea of self can be attached to anything, so there can be the self who wants to have less mm-hmm. defilements.
Yeah,
also.
Because it's not the development of Panya yet. Asmaka.
When it says in the sutta, thus he had time and opportunity to apply himself to the attainment of jhana. That sounds like a conventional situation of trying to me.
And so,
but it means conditions.
Yeah. Try is also a reality, jitasika. So that can be conditioned for such moment to try, because it's not the understanding of the idea of self, no self.
So wasn't the practice of jhana by people who have not heard the Dhamma always associated with trying to do it?
Yeah, great accumulation, thinking of turning away from.
They have to make a choice not to live in the household, move away, sit down cross-legged and concentrate on the breath. So that's trying.
I think that it's not just go straight to that, but it has to be even a moment of thinking about having less and less and less, on and on, until the person can see the danger of being attached to sensuous objects.
Mm. So because of this, his accumulations, he came to, and conditions dwell in the kara wood. He ate the fruit. When that was gone, energy, effort to continue, and then he took new leaves to sustain the physical body. So it was, I get the sense, a measure of understanding.
So what people think about a tranquil meditation?
I'm thinking now, for example, like in the case of Akiti, that lopa is sensuous attachment is no good. I mean, and you know, and so I should develop calm. So I should eat little because I don't want to waste time thinking about food, and spend more time in meditation.
Before you know the path?
Before knowing the path. So that is also possible for someone developing jhana.
Is it
jhana?
Not better than the sensuous?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sometimes I've heard it said, live to eat, or eat to live.
So what are we doing?
delicious food.
Choose
the delicious fruit over the kara leaves.
Each word of the Buddha bring about being reminded of kusala.
Because you can eat to live itself also.
In attachment.
I live to cling to the self.
So it says that by saving time, not looking for food, Akita was developing the perfection of patience. It follows, because he found the search for food for two meals would not lead to the eradication of defilement. This is the perfection of patience.
And
so knowing which would lead, and it would take a long time.
So maybe that part being it take a long time, and being able to resist food or satisfied with just one meal is his patience, accumulated patience is taking effect.
And what about being very viriya, patience to understand the right path?
So Bodhisattva actually underlying all his actions is motivated towards the path, becoming enlightenment. To have no akusala. So even though it seems like he is doing it with the idea of self, underlying the panya is working.
There is still the idea of self which hasn't been eradicated yet. But what about the kusala, the accumulation of kusala?
Yes, the accumulation is working its way.
Be patient to understand the right path. This is the most important.
Okay, then we read, his behavior caused Sakka, the king of the Devas, to wonder why the ascetic Akita had such pure conduct of action, speech, and thought, was devoid of attachment in his life, and had kara leaves as his only food, which were ascetic practices most difficult to perform. We should know the aim of our practice, such as the observing of sila morality. People who want to give up attachment to visible objects, sound, odor, flavor, and tangible objects should know why they are doing this. We read, when Sakka saw this, he wondered why the ascetic Akita observed such practice. He thought that the ascetic Akita practiced in this way because he desired to become Sakka, king of the Devas. Sakka, in the guise of a Brahmin, came to see the ascetic Akita thinking. If the ascetic Akita wishes to become Sakka, he will give me his sadhankara leaves. But if he has not such a wish, he will not give them away. Sakka thought that if Akita would aspire to become Sakka, he would fulfill the perfection of generosity, dana, and give away his food. We read, when the ascetic Akita noticed that the Brahmin was in need of food, he took the sadhankara leaves and gave them all to the Brahmin. He did the same the second day and the third day. Here we see that the kusala he performed at those times were actually the perfections of generosity, dana, of morality, sila, of renunciation, nikama, of patience, kanti, of energy, virya, of determination or steadfastness, adhihana, and of truthfulness, satcha, that is, sincerity in the performing of kusala. He fulfilled the perfections in order to attain Buddhahood. All perfections are interrelated and they support one another.
I have a question. This I heard a long time ago, and I doubt it is true now, is that Sakka is a sotapanna. It is? Even this Sakka?
The same Sakka.
There's only one Sakka.
Because I'm wondering why would Sakka test Akita?
I understand that as Putujanas, we are always thinking about wanting results in any action we do, because we're wanting something, some result from it. But I was
do you know the intention?
Huh?
What for?
I'm talking about normal people. The way we think when we see someone doing something, we say, so why are you doing that? Because we think that he's doing it because he is wanting to get something in, out of it. But I'm also thinking that since the Buddha's understanding is about detachment all the way, an Aryan will not necessarily have to think that way about the other person. Are you doing this because you want to, it's like testing him, why you want to test? I don't know, I just found it a bit
there
strange.
It's still attachment, wanting to know,
curious.
Yeah. He still has some certain accumulations.
Wanting to know.
Yes.
About the other person.
Mm-hmm. And also...
did Buddha come to see Buddha and ask question? Sariputta?
Yes.
See, just chanda to understand. But when one hasn't been arahata yet, it can be with attachment. Just wanting to know.
But I think he had a wrong assumption there when he said, if the ascetic Akitti wishes to become Sakka, he will give me his sodden kara leaves. But I don't think that was his wish. You know, I don't think that was Akitti's wish to become Sakka. That's not what he was doing it for.
Of course not.
No, I know, as you don't realize that. Oh, yeah. But so I thought he made a wrong assumption there when he thought that, if he gives me the sodden kara leaves, it will be an indication that he wants to become Sakka. So he had, who knows, that assumption was not correct, as we know.
Akitti was steadfast in generosity. He did not hesitate because of avarice. He did not long for anything in life, not even for something very slight. This is the perfection of sincerity. We read, the ascetic Akitti was unshakable in generosity while he offered his sodden kara leaves for 3 consecutive days. He fulfilled the perfection of loving kindness, metta, by his disposition to give assistance to all beings. He fulfilled the perfection of equanimity, upekkha, by even-mindedness or neutrality, not being disturbed by controversial conduct of people or by trying events. Sakka begged for food for 3 consecutive days, but the ascetic Akitti was unshakable in his determination to give, and he gave, no matter who was asking. We read, as regards the perfection of Panya, he knows which dhammas are beneficial conditions for the fulfillment of the perfections and which are not. He abandons the dhammas which are not beneficial, and he directs his patience toward those which are beneficial. When Sakka knew the disposition of the ascetic Akitti, he offered a boon, whereupon the great being, the ascetic Akitti, explained the Dhamma with regard to the receiving of boons. Further on in the commentary we read.
Can I interrupt?
Yep.
Again, when it's said that Akitti knew which Dhammas are beneficial for developing the perfections, it doesn't mean he thought about the perfections. It just means he knows which is the higher kusala, right? Which is better, because surely he didn't think in terms of perfections. It's just his accumulations. If normal people, we think in little kusala and then the idea of self. But in his case, he saw the value of different kinds of kusala, and he was that firm accumulations just led him to do first day, second day, third day.
That's what you think.
And so what is it? What does it mean?
Who knows?
So what did it mean that he...
The one who can see that only this kusla is not enough.
That's what basically I mean, means that he knows the different levels of kusla, he knows which is more.
That's not enough. It can be our daily life.
And yes, Acharya can see also that it has to do a lot with accumulations, the behavior of different people. Some people are just a lot of akusala because of accumulation. Some people not so much because of accumulations, and their past accumulation has an effect on their present life.
No one.
It is said that Akiti was unshakable in his determination to give, so he had developed that perfection. Yeah.
Yes, I mean, but he didn't have to think in terms of perfection.
No.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Even as today, maybe that's not enough to understand. See, not enough to understand. There can be more understanding, not only today. Instead of dana, it can be understanding.
Mm-hmm. And I was that reminds me of something I heard from in one of your talks about different kinds of dana. I think I brought this up in the taxi on our way back home one day. Some people give expecting results to be born in a good place. Some people think because they think it's a good thing. Some people do it because of tradition. Some people, and then finally someone who gives for the sake of purifying the mind, purifying the citta. It would seem that a normal person, it wouldn't happen that way, giving for the sake of purifying the mind. We are always giving for the result or giving because our accumulations habit, but never for purifying the mind. What do you think, Acharya?
So, for you, what is not enough?
What is not enough is all kinds of kusla.
See, it can be for the other as well.
Because, you know, I was thinking, because there's so much attachment to self, that idea of giving for purity, for because seeing the danger of defilements, will not occur. Even if it occurs, it's one moment, next moment it's something else already. And by the time we give, it's already all other kinds of motivation, not for purity of citta.
But it's there.
Maybe.
Is it enough for...
It's not enough because it's just...
So, but we don't have to be thinking that at the moment of giving.
Not thinking even, you know, it's always something else. Other than aimed at that, that's what I mean. The words are maybe not, we're not thinking exactly in those words. The giving is, like I give by accumulations, by because... sometimes it's because to make the other person happy, but you know, just each time that is my main this thing. It's not because I see the value of giving, or I don't see it as, I never see it as, oh, it's to have less attachment. It's just there. But you're saying it can be there underlying, as Acharya said. Just for a moment, but then in the end, it's always something else.
And you can appreciate that, you know. You can see the advantage of thinking like that because it supports the next moment. And also here, we're dealing with the bodhisattva who's. It's almost unimaginable the kind of levels of refinement and subtlety and delicacy that he has invested in the pursuit of being a Sammasa Buddha. It's like you can slowly sometimes get a little tiny glimpse of what it, what this involves. And just
well, actually, before the you know, the prediction, he was in that life ready to be an arahant.
Mm. Oh yes, certainly, that's right. But he had Sammasambuddho has to develop the perfections to the highest level, the three I like to become. There are three levels, not just an ordinary level, like as in the perfections have to be so perfect and the highest possible. So it's three levels, not just one. I think Sariputta, is this one, Ajahn, I think, for he had one.
You mean the Savaka, the Pachika, and the... The rest are Savakas or Pachika Buddhas. If it's not the Sammasambuddha, then it's Savaka or Pachika.
But the level of, you know, the Kusala involved with each of the perfections is so very, very high.
That's
much more
so. In case of Sariputta, to become Buddha's chief disciple.
Mm-hmm. He still had to develop the perfections, but nowhere near.
Nowhere near.
Further on in the commentary, we read, Sakka noticed that the ascetic Akiti dwelt in contentedness. He asked him, "What, great Brahman, are you wishing for, that you are dwelling here all alone in the heat?" Sakka interrogated Akiti because he wanted to know about his sincerity in practicing virtue to the highest degree, so that even Sakka called him great Brahman. We read, Akiti answered, "Sakka, king of the devas, rebirth is dukkha. The breaking up of the body is dukkha, and dying with delusion is dukkha. Therefore, I dwell here all alone." Sakka answered, "Well spoken, Kassapa. You express this very well. I will give you a boon. Choose whatever you wish." One may have wondered what this means. Here, the firm determination for the development of Kusala is shown of the ascetic Akiti, who wishes for a boon. The boon that he wishes for, all 10 perfections. We read, the ascetic Akiti said, "Sakka, lord of the devas, you have offered me a boon. People who have children, a wife, possessions, and all kinds of pleasant things are attached to them, even though their attachment does not cause any harm. However, I wish to be free from all degrees of attachment to such things. That is the boon I would like to have." Do we get it by wishing?
No, it's not a wish. It's just like asking you, what would you like? Mm. It's what would you like, and you say it.
This shows that he had precise understanding of his jittas. He did not wish to have attachment, even if it would not cause any harm. Someone who has no firm determination in the development of the perfections may believe that attachment makes life comfortable and pleasant, and that so long as attachment does not cause any harm, there is no danger in it. However, Akiti wanted to be free from all attachment. This is the steadfastness in Kusala to the degree of a perfection. We read, thereupon Sakka said, "You have well spoken, Kassapa. What else do you wish for?" "We do wish for a boon that will be a condition for Kusala to become more steadfast, just as in the..." Oh, I'm sorry, I misread that. "Do we wish for a boon that will be a condition for Kusala to become more steadfast, just as in the case of Akiti?" What he just asked was not sufficient yet. The following boon that the ascetic Akiti wished for shows again the meaning of Kusala to the degree of perfection. We read that Akiti said, "Sakka, the lord of all devas, has offered me a boon. Lands, goods, gold, cows, horses, slaves, and relatives decay and pass away. May I not have such unsatisfactoriness. The loss of possessions is a kusala vipaka, the result of a kusala gama that has been performed by oneself. There will not be such loss if one does not commit a kusala gama. We read that Akiti asked as a boon, may there be not any akusala gama that could cause such loss. Saka said, Kasapo, what else do you wish? The ascetic Akiti said, please give me this boon. May I not see or hear a fool nor be in his company, and may I not like to converse with him? Saka asked, what is the reason, Kasapa, that you do not like fools nor wish to see them? If we wish to develop the perfections of renunciation, we should consider this passage. If we associate with fools, we cannot develop renunciation. The perfections are interrelated, and from the beginning we should consider all of them. We read, the ascetic Akiti said, fools advise to do what is improper. They are likely to be engaged with improper activities. It is difficult to advise them to perform good deeds. When someone speaks to them in a wholesome way, hoping they will become righteous, they retort with anger. Fools do not know the rules of right conduct, Vinaya. It is beneficial not to see fools. Saka asked, Kasapo, what else do you wish for? The ascetic Akiti said, Saka, king of the devas, if you like to give me a boon, I would ask you the following boon. People should see wise men. They should listen to them, seek their company, and cherish conversations with them. Saka questioned Akiti so that he could give a clear explanation for the benefit of those who wish to have precise understanding and who study the Dhamma. We read, Saka asked Akiti, Kasapa, please explain the reason why you like to associate with the wise, why you wish to see the wise. The ascetic Akiti said, the wise advise to do what is proper. They are not engaged with improper activities. It is easy to encourage the wise. They do not retort well-spoken words with anger. They know well right conduct. It is good to associate with the wise. Saka asked, what else do you wish for? The ascetic Akiti said, when the night is spent and the sun, the ruler of the world, rises, may divine food and holy mendicants appear, and may the food that I will offer not become exhausted. May I not repent my deed, but give with a pure mind. This is a boon I wish for. Saka asked, what else do you wish for? The ascetic Akiti said, Saka, king of the devas, if you want to give me a boon, may you not visit me again. This is the last boon the ascetic Akiti asked for. This shows that he was not heedless with regard to the kusala he had accumulated. Saka was most surprised because somebody wishes to see sons and daughters of devas, divine beings. Some people develop kusala to the degree of calm in order to see devas, but the ascetic Akiti wished that Saka would not visit him again. We read, Saka said, many people wish to see, because of their righteous conduct, sons and daughters of devas. What is the danger in seeing me? The ascetic Akiti answered, I may transgress my vows of asceticism when I see the appearance of devas, beings who are full of glory and delightful to the senses. This is the danger in seeing you. Whereupon Saka said, this is good, revered one. From now on, I shall not visit you again. And he departed. The Bodhisattva dwelt in the same place during his whole life. After he passed away, he was reborn in the world of the Brahma. The Reverend Anuradha was Saka. The Buddha was the ascetic Akiti. The ascetic Akiti was heedful. He did not want to see what could be a danger to him. We can learn a lesson from this story. we should consider the perfections with regard to our own life. We have a long way to go in order to attain the realization of the Four Noble Truths and the eradication of defilements. If we do not understand what the perfections really are, we do not have firm determination to study the Dhamma in order to have right understanding. To apply the Dhamma and to practice it with sincerity, which is the perfection of truthfulness. We should study and practice without being disturbed by the worldly conditions of gain, loss, honor, dishonor, praise, blame, happiness, and misery. If we are unshakable in these worldly conditions, we are beginning to develop the perfections so they become more firmly established. If we consider the perfections developed by the Buddha life after life as related in the basket of conduct, we can see that our own development of the perfections is still very insignificant compared to his development, and there is an immense difference. Therefore, we should continue further to develop all the perfections. We should not have expectations with regard to right understanding of the characteristics of Nama and Rupa, which arise and fall away very rapidly at this moment. The truth cannot be realized immediately, but understanding must be developed very gradually during an endlessly long time. We read at the end of the commentary to the conduct of Akiti. There may be confidence in him, the Bodhisattva, confidence that it is possible to be freed from dukkha, but one may merely express words about this confidence and not act accordingly by the practice in conformity with the Dhamma, just as the Buddha did. Thus, it is not sufficient merely to have confidence in the perfections the Buddha developed during his former lives, but we should also apply these perfections in daily life. We may express our confidence by words, but even though we speak with kusala jitta, if we do not act accordingly by the right practice, we shall not reach the goal. We may consider the perfections that we are beginning to develop. We are interested in listening to Dhamma and learning about the practice in accordance with the Dhamma. We need the perfection of energy, virya, in order to be able to listen. If there is no energy or right effort, we do not come to listen to the Dhamma, but we rather listen to another subject that gives us pleasure and entertainment. When we listen to the Dhamma, we also need the perfection of patience, kanti, because sometimes we have to listen to what does not interest us so much. Without patience, we cannot develop the other perfections, such as the perfection of morality, sila. Without the perfection of sila, we shall transgress morality by our deeds and speech. It is most important with whom we associate. The ascetic Akiti said, with regard to himself, that he did not wish to see, to hear, or to be close to fools. The commentary to the Basket of Conduct compares association with fools to the tasting of water that has a bitter, unpleasant flavor, and association with wise persons to the tasting of sweet water. Also, the Bodhisattva had at time to associate with fools. For example, during one of his lives, the Bodhisattva belonged to a clan of people with wrong view. In his life as the Brahman youth Jyotipala, he was born into a family of people who had wrong view and no confidence in the Buddha. Jyotipala followed his parents in their disdain of the Buddha. The Brahmins who had wrong view had no confidence in the Buddha Kassapa, who was the last Buddha before the Buddha Gotama. The commentary to the discourse on Gallikara, middle length sayings, the Papancha Sudani, states that Bodhisattvas had accumulated the perfections until his life as Jyotipala. Then he came into contact with people of wrong view. The commentary compares the accumulation of perfections to a brightly shining fire which during that life came into contact with water and was therefore extinguished by it, so that the rays of the light disappeared and only black charcoal was left. fools are very dangerous.
So, Matteo,
can we assume that the bodhisattva would be born such as the life of Jyotipala as Jyotipala not many times in his...
Once?
Only once?
As Jyotipala.
No, not as Jyotipala, but with wrong view.
Depends.
Because before Paina read about Jyotipala, I was thinking the bodhisattvas was so firm, and it seems that he did not have doubt. So I was wondering whether all his life he had any doubt in during those lives about anything. So he would have had doubt also.
As long as he's not Aryan.
And I think it's showing again the danger of contact with fools, you know, with that family he was unfortunately born into. Just that that connection, you know.
Until reading this, it seemed to me the bodhisattva had a steady increase going higher and higher, but that seems to say that it's not such an even path, even for a bodhisattva.
It's developed little by little.
It's very little by little.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't think if it was a graph, you wouldn't notice that. That's what...
No, but there is a bump there.
You wouldn't notice it.
It's a glitch, a slow time.
But we can think about our own thoughts, yes, whether we can think like that or not.
Yes, so even if a bodhisattva has a little glitch like that, how big a glitch we have.
Just to remind how long way it is.
I think that was also the reason.
From ignorance to right understanding.
I think, I'm not sure, but there was the karmic consequences of that, I understand, was that's why this last Buddha, Gautama, had to go through those ascetic practices. Oftentimes the past Buddhas, when they leave home, it's a very short time. I think that's part of it. Do you remember that, Ajahn?
Part of karma.
Yeah, part of the karma that...
He once made it.
Mm. You mean suffer bodily unpleasant feelings?
Yeah, that's why I think, I'm pretty sure reading that once, that Jyotipala, because in that life he abused the Buddha, or... that was some of the karmic consequences, was having to do the ascetic practices, torturing himself for a while, which again kind of reflects a wrong view or a wrong path. But yeah, and not all Buddhas, you know, some Buddhas they just
don't.
No, they don't. They just, it's very, it's just very quick. They leave home and they're shortly afterwards enlightened. They don't go through that period of suffering for long periods of time.
Could it be because of previous lifetimes? But underneath all this reading about Jyotipala is one sadness after all that accumulations for the perfection, and then just, oh! And then the other thing that came to mind was the exquisite patient endurance. It just seems so much for so little, just eons for a tiny, tiny bit of understanding.
Thinking about three moments after seeing there is asava, how rapidly.
And Ajahn is always reminded us, and I always appreciate it, that every moment there is opportunity for wisdom. So it's not considered a long, long time. It's just a moment at a time. And I always find that a helpful reminder, because we often think, oh, such a long time. And that becomes another story, and usually there's a lot more akusala when we think like that, oh, such a long time, I'll never be able to do that.
But it is supposed to take very long.
Oh, yes.
That's the way it is.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah, of course, but yes.
And so there need not be worry or discouragement on account of so much vast, vast oceans upon oceans and eons of akusala. It's just use the compost to make a lotus or some kind of a thing, poetry, flowery.
And we shouldn't forget what about vipaka, only 10, which can know, like seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. Otherwise, the other moment must not be by akusala kamma, but by the accumulation too. Because you see that when we talk about kamma, it takes many, many moments of kusala or akusala. So the result is moment of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. The rest are the accumulation of akusala or kusala. The result is just a moment. Seeing sees, hearing hears. The rest, sampatichanna, santiran, cannot see, cannot hear, but it just can receive the object. And only these are vipaka. So the rest must be the accumulation of akusala. Apart from seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. Like now, seeing is vipaka, but akusala, asva, is the accumulation from previous moments.
So I'm wondering whether you bring this up in relation to the fact that what Sundara pointed to about Jyotipala.
Because usually people think about vipaka or avipaka, but actually only seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, avipaka.
So any significance of that with the fact that the Buddha in his last life had to go through all that ascetic practice? Because that also, the moments of unpleasant through the body is just in between. Mostly it is other chittas.
And what about the accumulation of akusala?
So there was some of that also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it has to be accumulations because it was just as Ajahn said, the vipaka is just that moment of experience.
No, I'm trying to see the significance because Sundara brought up the idea that because of that particular life, Jyotipala looked down upon Buddha Kassapa. The result was his going through those ascetic practices.
Because of the accumulation
of
akusala as well.
I don't understand it as vipaka, I understand it as accumulation only. I don't understand.
Because whatever happens, people think, oh, it's vipaka, but they don't pinpoint what moment is vipaka and what moment is not vipaka.
Yeah, but to me, for some reason, it's the other way around, that the practice, the ascetic practices was more like accumulation than the vipaka.
Right, but it involved hurting oneself, right?
Oh.
So there were moments of vipaka too.
I see.
Accumulations and conditions.
I think this is where we were. We do not know our past lives, but we can learn from the story of the Bodhisattva as Jyotipala. Although he had accumulated the perfections to a high degree, he still associated with fools. We can learn that we should not be heedless and see the dangers in association with fools. We read in the commentary to the Basket of Conduct in the Miscellaneous Sayings, now comes the method of practicing the perfection of virtue, sila. Since a great man desires to adorn beings with the adornment of the virtue of omniscient, at the beginning he must first purify his own virtue. Herein virtue is purified in four modes: by the purification of one's inclinations, Can you pronounce that one for me?
Jasaya Visuddhi.
Jasaya Visuddhi. By the understanding of the precepts Samadana, by non-transgression Avitikamana, by making amends for transgressions Patipatta Tikara. I'm not sure I pronounce.
I think some misspelling here, doesn't matter.
In this way, we can check sila in our daily life. We should know whether our sila is pure. We read, for someone who is dominated by personal ideals, is naturally disgusted with the evil through the purity of his own inclinations, and purifies his conduct by arousing his inward sense of shame, hiri. Someone else who is dominated by consideration for the world, afraid of evil, purifies his conduct by receiving precepts from another person and by arousing his sense of moral dread, otapa. Both establish themselves in virtue through non-transgression. But if due to forgetfulness, they sometimes break a precept through their sense of shame and moral dread respectively, they quickly make amends for it through the proper means of rehabilitation. In these ways, sila is purified. We read further on about the virtue of the bodhisattva. When he speaks, his statements should be truthful, beneficial, and endearing, and his talk measured, timely, and concerned with the Dhamma. His mind should always be devoid of covetousness, ill will, and perverted views. He should possess the knowledge of the ownership of kama and have settled faith and affection for recluses and Brahmins who are faring and practicing rightly. What does he mean? He should possess the knowledge of ownership of kama.
Kamastika. Huh? Like there's the four aspects of kama. You've got kamastika. Like, you know that what you do, there will be consequences for it. So you truly understand the nature of kama. It's actually got four components of kamastika, which is, you know, you understand that karma belongs to you. Kamasaka, karma yoni, you're born for karma. Karma bandhu, you're bound to your karma. And karma patisarana, which means that it's your protection. So the bodhisattva, it seems then, would understand all those. And there's a note down below, it says, kamasakatta jnana, understanding that karma is the cause of vipaka, result, beings, and result. Beings will receive the appropriate results of their deeds. Kamasakatta, literally done, possessed of karma that's done, the knowledge of that, the knowledge that what is done, you are the owner of.
It's not caused by somebody else.
No.
No need to blame anyone.
Not even myself, because there's no self, it's just, I think, responsible. And the other point was the rehabilitation for his misdeeds. Jyoti Pala's misdeeds too.